Hey friends, welcome to the Rhythms for Life podcast, where each week we talk about four rhythms that help you reduce stress and anxiety and take charge of your emotional health. Rest, restore, connect, create.
These ideas come from Rebecca's best-selling book, Rhythms of Renewal, Trading Stress and Anxiety for a Life of Peace and Purpose. So grab your copy, invite your friends, and let's live in rhythm.
Welcome back. I'm Rebecca.
And I'm Gabe. And today is an exciting day, and it's one of the most fun moments I know as your husband that I get to experience, which is when you are putting a book out into the world. And today we're talking about your new book, A Surrendered Yes, and it's 52 devotionals to let go and live free. And Rebecca, I get to interview you today, so everybody's going to get to hear a little more back and forth here, which I'm excited about. Samaritan Ministries is a biblical solution to healthcare, connecting hundreds of thousands of Christians across the nation who bear one another's burdens when a medical need arises. It's not insurance, and there are no network restrictions, so you choose the doctors and treatments that are best for you and your family. Bills for your medical need are sent to Samaritan Ministries, and they notify fellow members to pray for you and send you money to help you pay your medical bills. And it's affordable with a sharing program that can fit your budget. Depending on the program selected and member age, the monthly share amount starts at $200 for a family. That's right, $200 for a family of two or more. See how healthcare sharing with Samaritan Ministries can work for your family at samaritanministries.org/RFL podcast. Let's just jump right in. You decided to write this book. Give us a little bit of the history here of where this whole project came from.
Yeah. So it's my first devotional. I was kind of nervous about that because you go 52 days with someone and it's a journey together. But that's kind of been my life, is just what does daily look like with God? You know, yeah. What is that daily intersection? And so to be a part of that with someone else in their journey and approaching God every day, I hope it's a blessing and encouragement, a reminder that you're not alone in your story wherever you are. Maybe you have a lot of hard choices you have to make right now, and God is inviting you to that surrendered yes.
I mean, right out of the gates, I just want to say this isn't like just a book. I mean, this is a journey that people are being invited to go on for 52 days, or they could do it once a week. But I think this fall, 52 days of people reading and better understanding what surrender looks like, which is a topic we don't like to talk about. I remember going back to the first book you ever wrote, Free Fall to Fly, A Breathtaking Journey Towards a Life of Meaning. The subtitle you really wanted was A Breathtaking Journey Towards a Life of Surrender. And why did we not do that?
Right. Well, we didn't because publishers said nobody wants to surrender, which is still the case. I mean, let's be honest. We don't choose to surrender. It chooses us. And I think that's the Lord's invitation a lot of times is, hey, I've called you to this thing that will cost you something. It will require faith. It will require trust. It will require letting go of maybe what you were holding onto. And I think, honestly, these last 18 months for all of us have looked like that. It was something we didn't ask for. It came, and God's like, are you willing to surrender your old life?
Let's define terms, because I think that's one of the things. It's like, what does surrender mean? As you talk about a surrendered yes, what do you mean by that?
Well, the book says a surrender is letting go of our plans. It's letting go of our plans or what we imagine things would look like, and accepting what is right in front of us. And it can be an invitation if we let it, or it can feel like just total devastation as well. You know, I mean, surrender always requires just acknowledging, accepting, and then deciding if you're going to push against that and escape and be in denial, or just go, okay, this is where we sit. I remember moving to New York a decade ago and having such a hard time once we got there. And I kept saying, I hate New York. I want to go back to Atlanta. I miss my home and my family and my family were with me, but my friends who had become family. And, I remember visiting some girlfriends about 3 months in back in Atlanta, and I just kept crying. I'm like, I want to be here so bad, but I know that God, I keep saying in New York, this is where God has us. He has us here. And I kept hearing, stay. Like, you can't run, Rebecca. You got to accept. This is where I have you because I'm about to do some things in your life that will change you forever. And that's what surrender does. It's that big of a risk, that big of an invitation.
Yeah. And I feel like this is what our whole series is about, the Say Yes series that we're doing right now. Every interview, we're getting into these great dialogues with leaders who people know. They've seen their stories. They've seen their life on the other side of surrender, but they don't always understand what got them there. So this Say Yes series is meant to help people get into this mindset. And I would just say, as a guy who maybe struggles with that word surrender too. Like I'm kind of like, I want to lead. I want to go. I want to do the things. Yeah. I've got strategy and plans, and surrender always feels like the opposite of that. And so I don't think we naturally surrender. I don't think that's a natural way a human being responds to circumstances, to challenges. We want to overcome, and we're told to overcome and to like grow up and go for it. And I think this is a countercultural message, and it's the kind of message that won't sink in without intentionality, which is why I love the 52 devotionals. I love that people could start reading this book now. These are very short. I mean, we're talking 4 minutes of your morning or your day at night or with your family, where you go, we're going into a kind of a continued season in our culture where there's a lot of circumstances out of our control. It could be from jobs, job loss, decisions that need to be made, fear that's in the air. And surrender is like a way that we as people of God can respond in a way that keeps us in a healthy place. And to me, going through 52 days of this, that kind of gets us close to Thanksgiving, is a great way to think about this fall. Like, I want to really embed this kind of thinking into my life because that's the way forward.
Yeah, anxiety is the antagonist to surrender. And so we'd rather hold on and white knuckle and double down in control because we're anxious and we're afraid of what's to come. Surrender does the opposite. Surrender says, come what may, God will still be here. He will hold me in it. It's not saying it won't be hard, but he is with me. And I'll still be standing. You know, that's the bigger thing. I think a lot of times I hear people come to me and say, I'm afraid of this, that, or the other. And I'm afraid that if I let go, this, that, or the other will happen. And so I like playing the why game. Like, what if, what if? So what if those things that you're so afraid of do happen? What then? And then play that out. I mean, we've done this with each other. We've done this with our kids. I've done this with friends because it's the fear that's such a bully. It's so intimidating. And surrender kind of punches it in the face. It's kind of like, okay, God, I'm yours. And my future is yours. And my dreams are yours. And my relationships are yours. And I trust that you want the best for me. And maybe what you have for me is better than all the plans I'm trying to control and keep so much. And that's what happened, honestly. COVID to me was such a wake-up moment for the church, for everyone, but for the church especially, because one thing we discussed this weekend is that it leveled the playing field for everyone. And that everyone now is a rookie in like learning how to just adjust to something. And you know why? Because we decided to surrender to this reality and going, all right, now how do we begin again? And what does that journey of faith look like? And I love it because it does depend on God so much.
Well, and you don't just surrender once. Like that's what we're hearing in so many of these Say Yes episodes we're doing, is how people, you're confronted almost every few years with big moments where you put everything back on the table and you go, God, I don't know how this outcome is going to work out, but I'm going to trust you. I know for us, Cade being born was probably one of those first moments where we just had to surrender to, like, we have a child that's different than what we had anticipated.
Sure.
But the way to walk into this isn't to fight that.
Right.
It's to surrender and go, God, I know this is going to change our life, but we have to trust you. What was that like for you in that experience of surrender?
Yeah, I mean, I remember when he was born, at that first day, we were just fighting for his life. He was failure to thrive, emergency C-section, went straight to the NICU. So at that point, 6 hours later was when we got that diagnosis that they saw signs of Down syndrome in his body. But then at the same point, it still took a week to confirm that. And by the time it came, yes, of course, there was a lot of grief and there was a lot of just the reality of accepting what is. I mean, honestly, and I remember driving to the hospital that morning right after we got that news because we had to go home like the day prior and he was still there. And I just remember telling you like, Gabe, I have no idea what the future holds. And not that I would have anyways as a new mom, right?
Yeah.
But it felt all the more daunting and all the more scary and all the more unknown. But I remember thinking, God, I know you're here. And honestly, my faith was so fortified in that season. I was so dependent on God. I mean, he did miracle after miracle after miracle in that first year of Cade's life, whether he couldn't nurse for 9 weeks. He had an adverse reaction to like those shots, when he was so small. God just kept growing him and growing me and growing you in our marriage. I mean, we just had to lean on him.
Yeah.
And it's sometimes in those moments of suffering that God is so dear. And all of a sudden, we're so transformed as a result. Yeah, so we didn't choose it, but I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Well, and in my life, that moment God used to catalyze me getting off of this like career path track I was on and to remind me of who I am, what's important in the world. And everything I do through Q Ideas came out of Cade being born.
Yeah.
So like we didn't understand on the other side of this embrace of this just new challenge, new life, new way of looking at the world would come that. The second thing that I would say was a big surrender was when we moved to New York, because you were kind of kicking and scratching and crawling like not to move to New York City, as I'm sure people listening are like, yeah, she was the smart one with exactly. three kids. But that journey for you was another huge surrender moment.
Yeah, Cade was 9. So you're looking at almost a decade later. Here we are putting all the chips back in the middle of the table. And it's a reckless abandon move, right? You know, it's saying, you know, with Cade, we didn't choose it. And I think with New York, we did. We didn't really know what all it would cost us, but we definitely knew that we were leaving every comfort and security that we had held in Atlanta. And I was up for the adventure while I was kicking and screaming. I finally resigned to it. I said, God, I don't want to stand in the way of your hand working in us. And again, when you walk through really hard things, you grow. You just grow. You can't not grow when you are walking through something hard. James 1 says, count it all joy when you face trial, because it makes you perfect and complete, lacking nothing, which of course, none of us are near perfect and complete, but we have matured. We have grown in our faith because we had to. We had no choice not to. And honestly, God got, again, so loud for us in those 4.5 years in New York City, because I was spiraling in panic attacks and all of a sudden experienced his rescue. I think God becomes so sweet when we are so dependent, because we have no other option. And surrender is the catalyst for that. And so maybe you're hearing this, you're like, that's not what I want. But the truth is, fighting against it and resisting the surrender is actually making you sick. It's making your mind sick. It's making your heart sick. It's making your relationship sick. And God is going, hey, I can be the peace that passes the understanding of the circumstance you're in right now. And do you trust me?
And we're sitting here talking today because of that decision to surrender and move to New York. And that's when you start to experience panic attacks. Things probably that had been covered up pretty well in the suburban life started to get exposed for you, which then led you on this journey to start telling your story and God bringing healing and you writing and helping so many other people. So I look back and go, on the other side of that, yes, mm-hmm. is a pretty epic thing in the sense that we're just sitting here talking about all this today.
Yeah, I would not be sitting here at all. I would not have the ministry that I have or the books or the teaching or even the faith, honestly, had we not said yes to New York.
Yeah. And so then I want to keep going through just our journey of surrendered, because again, we're talking about this word surrendered and saying yes to it and how our natural inclination is to say no. It is not to say yes.
Yes.
And we're wanting to inculcate into your mind that we have to say yes to these moments when God puts them in front of us. It doesn't mean every week you have to go do something crazy, but you know when you're being invited into something that there's risk and there's fear, and that's what's holding you back. And that's when we're saying, nope, we're going to say yes.
Yeah, I remember hearing a few years ago that sometimes we get this nudge from God and it's an invitation, and he might come back around again. But if we decline repeatedly, I think that invitation gets softer. I think it's less persistent, because God is really looking for a relationship with us, and that relationship is born out of dependence and trust. And so if we want a God where we can kind of control our outcomes and we can live our lives and we show up at church on Sunday and it's casual, but we don't really need it, that voice of God is not going to continue. He might come around through different people, but I think over time, if we keep saying no, Scripture so clearly says he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him, and his eyes roam the earth in Amos, looking for whose hearts are completely his.
Right.
And so that matters to God. He's like, are you in? Because I have an adventure for you, but it's going to cost you something, but it will give you the greatest joy, the greatest peace, the greatest love, because it'll expand your heart, because you could have never asked or imagined for it, and it starts with surrender.
Well, that's what I love about the subtitle for this book, A Surrendered Yes, is 52 Devotions to Let Go and Live Free. Like, when you surrender, you are letting go. Let's make no mistake about it. You have to let go of something that you were holding on to. And it's that jump. It's the ability to let go and then live in this freedom. And I know for us, this went back to 4 years ago when we had this new moment where we're starting to look at the future. We're thinking about, you know, having children that are getting close to graduating, empty nesting, and this opportunity comes along for adoption. And I know for both of us, We talked about it a lot. We from time to time thought maybe we should do this, but we always had a way of talking ourselves out of it because there were some things we didn't want to let go of.
Right. Yeah. Adoption had always been close to our heart. We had a lot of friends who adopted. We'd considered it. You know, like you said, it was, for me, it was like a 3-minute conversation every 3 years. Could we, should we, maybe, no, I think we're good. New York became the fourth baby in some ways. It was just, it took all of our attention and our time and our margin and capacity. So it wasn't really an option in that season. But once we got back to Franklin and Nashville, we were prompted by it again. And I just remember a few years prior just telling God, if you want this to happen, I need you to put her right in front of us and we'll name her Joy. And that was a promise of what had begun in tears through anxiety and depression. I had always said, restore to me the joy of my salvation. And I knew that this was like naming a daughter Joy would be kind of a promise fulfilled of a season of loss. And so anyways, when that came up, that was again about, I guess, yeah, a decade later. What is it with us in our marriage? Every few years, every 8 to 10 years, God nudges us again. And it's a journey of faith that continues to grow. I almost think that every yes you give God prepares you for the next one.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. You start to build faith. It's like building that muscle. You got to work it out. And if you stop, as you said earlier, working it out, sometimes those invitations go away or you don't see life in that way and you start to live a very small life. You don't live free, you live enslaved, and you live enslaved to the little world you could create, but it wasn't necessarily the big giant world that God wanted you to live in with confidence and courage and bravery. And it doesn't mean that when you surrender and take these steps, there's not hard days. I mean, you walk through the challenges of a new life, of new structures, of needing to get rid of some of these old things, and that can be hard. That's, mm-hmm. It's not always easy, but the growth that starts to happen in your soul and your spirit and the life that you're starting to live is contagious.
Yeah, I almost feel like the reason why people are in a lot of pain right now is there's just been such a spirit of self-preservation and trying to protect what we had, trying to keep what we had, and God is going, I'm always doing a new thing. The old is done and the new is here. And that means that my spirit and my mercies are new every morning. I'm the author of life and I want you to keep growing. I want you to keep stretching and trusting and stepping out on the water, right? Like if you don't do that, your soul will start to shrink. I mean, you won't live from a heart of gladness and peace and rest. You won't live from joy or delight. And so here we are trying to protect something that's kind of making us miserable and kind of making us shrink in our soul. And we know if we're shrinking back from God. We know if we're avoiding or escaping, but we go numb. And numb is not life. It's not life. It doesn't require God. And what it ultimately creates is you losing your soul. Mm. You might be gaining the world on like comfort and fame or, you know, whatever the latest thing is, but you're losing your soul. And so the surrendered life says, are you willing to lose your life again so that you can find it in me? And what you'll find in me is always a new thing. It's something you never dreamed. It's something you wouldn't have imagined. I didn't imagine joy.
Yeah.
I didn't imagine I'd get to keep working after joy. I remember asking God that.
Like, no, that was something you surrendered. I remember us having those conversations, like you were speaking and traveling and writing, and you literally had to put that on the table, put it on the altar really, and go, I don't know that I'll get to do this again, but I feel like this is what God's inviting us into. And you surrendered it.
Yeah.
And the beauty of that story now is nothing has, you've still been able to move forward in your calling, but maybe in a new way with some different structure to it, but God's allowed you to just continue to do the thing he's called you to do. You didn't really have to give it up.
Right. I believe God never calls us to anything that asks us to abandon family. So if he is inviting us into something, he's going to make room for it. He's going to give a grace and a cadence for how that looks. It might be less gas pedal, you know, more brake and more nuance in certain seasons. But that's, again, the daily surrender that follows the big surrender. Like we're up for the big jump and like the leap and the adrenaline rush of it. But it's actually the catalyst for the daily small surrender from that moment forward, because we couldn't be good parents to Cade still today, 20 years later, if we weren't surrendering every day, or even in our calling and vocation, if we weren't surrendering our plans for that every day, or in Joy and Pierce and Kennedy's parents, or our marriage. Like surrender is a posture whether or not you want it. And it, again, it's a release. It's a letting go of control. It's trusting that God loves your people more than you even do, and that he wants good things for you, and that he has plans and purposes for your life appointed in the womb if you just let him roll those out for you and open those doors for you instead of you having to shove them open yourself.
Yeah. I love getting to interview you. It's fun to talk about these things and remember these. And these are three stories you've just heard of 52 that happen in this devotional, A Surrendered Yes. Again, they're very quick to read, but I think this fall, for all of us, this posture of surrender is actually the way we're going to walk through this. It's this posture that's not natural. We have to be intentional about. And I wish people could see the book cover, too. I mean, it's so beautiful. Dana Tanamachi illustrated it again. It's pink with all kinds of different colors on it, hardback, and it's also a perfect gift. And so if you're somebody who's leading a women's group, or maybe you've got your daughter and your son. I mean, this isn't just for women. I will say the pink looks a little feminine.
It's pretty.
That's
I have
okay.
to
it
say.
Is pretty.
I can't not make it
so
pretty.
So it can sit on the coffee table, but hey, guys, reach out and grab it, okay? We need this too. Like, we need to enter into this posture of surrender. I've talked to so many people in this summer who are questioning a lot of things in their life, a lot of structure, a lot of ways they've built their life. And they're having to ask big questions of themselves. Will I surrender that? And what's on the other side of it? And they're starting to find a joy in letting go. And they're starting to feel like this feeling of what it means to live free. Doesn't mean it's all mapped out for you, but it means I'm going to trust God and he's got something even better for me. And I think that's the journey. If we could together as a community, like, go this fall on that journey to where we get to Thanksgiving and we're giving thanks sitting around that table. And it's like, I'm thanking God that he's given me a different view on the world right now, a different posture, a posture mm-hmm. of surrendering and letting go, not trying to control it all, but trusting him as I walk daily. That would be a beautiful thing.
Yeah. We are starting a group, like a bunch of groups, October 1, and we're asking you, if you hear this message and it resonates for you and you want to go through it with a few girls, just go to RebeccaLyons.com and there'll be a button there that says start a group, and there'll be a study guide that's free you can download just to have conversation starters with your friends. So we'll kick it all off in a couple weeks, so we want to make sure you know about it now so you can invite some people, have them join you. And I think, you know, this journey of risk taking and trust is best done in community, because you have some vulnerability that's allowed in those places, and some accountability and some support. I mean, God is truly, I know everyone who's listening to this podcast right now is being asked of something by God. God is inviting you into something, and maybe it's been persistent for a while now, or maybe it's just something he's prompting you today that reminds you of something he prompted you to a while back. But either way, this is the invitation of God. And what he wants is to walk with you. It's not so much about the outcome of what he's asking you to do. What he's really after is you. He's after your heart. He's after a relationship. He's after dependence. He's after trust. He's after intimacy and vulnerability. That's the kind of God who loves us. And so I really think he invites us into surrender just so we can commune with him, because we need him. And it's not that he only wants us in relationship because we need him, but because we delight in him. And man, when I come back to that, I just want to, for a second, just acknowledge that surrender's not easy. And we know you might be hearing this and go, I don't know. I kind of like the autopilot. I like the Netflix binging. I like numbing out. But if that still small voice is nudging you right now to something that feels really scary or feels really hard, just know that if God is inviting you into something that truly is going to be so transformative for your life, for your growth, for your family, for your dreams, then he won't let up for a while, and he will give you the grace. He will give you the grace to say yes. I remember with joy this last time, I was like, we can't do this. I'm so ill-equipped for this. And then the Spirit would nudge me again in a conversation with a friend in passing, and I'd be like, we can't not do this. Like, it was almost like, I can't do this because I feel so ill-equipped for this, but we can't not, because it just felt like God's invitation was so persistent, so kind, so loving, that says, I'm not saying it's going to be a cakewalk, but I promise you I will be with you every step of the way. And I will go before you, and I will bring people around. And that kind of dependence and trust has truly changed my life. And I wouldn't go back.
Yeah.
And those of you who know Joy, you would understand. You would never go back.
Right.
It's only expanded our life.
And we wouldn't have known then how much, I mean, literally adopting in China was going to be something that was next to impossible now.
Yeah.
We had no idea.
No.
But in the moment, you trust and you realize her life's changed forever. And if had we put it off 2 more years and said, no, we'll just wait till we've got it all figured out, till we have more time in our schedule to go through the training, we wouldn't have done it and it would never have been able to happen. I want to also let you know, because you don't have the book in front of you, but I want you to see what this book is like, or at least understand it. Every single devotional has a verse that's part of that you can meditate on, as well as a reflection question, something, and journal space. So as you read through this every day, you just take a moment and we stop. And this is one of Rebecca's rhythms that she always encourages everybody in your morning routine at some point in the day to journal, to write down a thought, to just take a moment and reflect on what is God saying to you in that moment. And you get the opportunity to do that every one of these days in this devotional. So this book is available everywhere books are sold today. You can also go to RebeccaLyons.com, and through Friday, if you order it and you show proof of purchase, you're able to get all the freebies. And then I also want to let you know our partner for the Say Yes series, Agape International Missions, they're going to allow you to get a free copy when you sign up to become a monthly donor at the link in our show notes. And you can get a signed copy of A Surrendered Yes if you decide to partner with them to help more and more people around the world. But Rebecca, I think it's only appropriate as we conclude this conversation to just pray for people and encourage them through prayer and what God might have for them in this season.
Jesus, we love you and we praise you that you are the God and King of the heavens and the earth, and you are our Savior. And I pray for the person listening right now. Maybe they pull over to the side of the road because they keep hearing something that's tugging at their hearts, and they know that there's truth to the fact that, God, you invite us into more for us and more of you. And so for those who are listening right now who are just fearful and have kind of been apart from you and avoiding you or avoiding any level of vulnerability, God, I pray right now that you would break down those walls of self-defense or self-preservation or denial, God. And would you just right now just bathe them in your love and your mercy and your grace? And God, would you give them a picture, a word, a song, a memory right now, Lord, that reminds them that there is an invitation for them. There always has been. And that you are relentless in your pursuit of their heart and you love them so much, God. And I just pray, God, that this would open up communion with you and them again, that there'd be real honest dialogue, journaling, prayer walks, talking out loud, having it out, whatever it takes, Lord, for someone to come back to you in a way that says, God, my life isn't my own. And I know that I've been bought with a price and I've been set free. And I want my days to matter for you, God. I want my days to count. I don't want to live numb. I want to live free. And so, God, would you just invite them into that right now? Holy Spirit, would your grace cover them as they listen to this prayer? May it be their prayer. God, if they end this podcast and they feel more drawn and more connected to you and more in pursuit of you, God, then my work is done, Lord, because I know that you have exceeding and abundant plans for them, not just for right now in this prayer moment, but for the days to come. And so, Lord, would you show them how much you love them? Show them their purpose, the purpose that you have for them. And we give you all glory, and we will celebrate on the other side of all of these stories to see the transforming power that has happened because they said yes. In your mighty name, Jesus, we ask all these things, for when we do, we know it has already been given. Amen.